I'm Lodging Editor Kate Hughes. Thank you for listening to Lodging on Demand. Many hotels are starting to bring back furloughed staff. We spoke with Agnello Fernandez, Chief Strategy Officer at Terranea, and Sloan Dean, CEO of Remington, about what hoteliers should keep in mind when bringing team members back on board after a furlough.
So now that hotels are reopening, how should hoteliers decide when to bring staff back? And how should they decide how many team members to bring back? So Sloan, why don't we start with you? What have you been finding with Remington's properties?
Yeah, so I think it completely depends. Each individual hotel is unique and it's driven by occupancy levels. But I think there's four considerations. I think first and foremost, we've tried to make sure that we retain and keep working revenue generators such as sales, revenue management, various commercial services, so that we not only could manage through the crisis as we took the elevator down in late March, but also as we take the stairs back out of recovery, that we're faster to recover than our competitors and get more people back to work. And so just this week, in fact, we've brought back over 100 people in commercial services intentionally to really try and help accelerate Q3, Q4 recovery. So that's first and foremost. Secondly, I think you then look at production-based associates, which is really tied to occupancy levels. So housekeeping, engineering, front desk. And it really just depends. We've got a few resorts in Florida where it feels very similar to pre-COVID, where we're selling out on weekends and, the staffing there is not quite the pre-COVID levels, but close. And then I'd say 80% of the rest of the portfolio, we're running very lean, where we bottomed out in occupancy in early April. We had 7,000 associates pre-COVID. At the height of the crisis, we only had 600 people working. We're back now to having about 1,200, 1,300 across the portfolio, so about double what we had early April. And it's really driven by occupancy. The third, I think, is we're starting to get into those questions of management staff decision levels at the hotel. So do we open the restaurant? Do we open the spa? And some of those supporting functions, I think, are the third consideration. You're starting to see some of those questions be asked in southern states right now, reopening the pool, for example. And then the fourth, I think, is any support staff, whether that's in accounting or in back of office, or also I'd extend that to, banquets and catering that we see, groups and meetings is going to be the last part of this to recover. And, unfortunately, a lot of those folks that work in banquet staff may not be back to work until 2021. And so I think, but ultimately, it's driven via occupancy levels, and it's kind of a staggered approach, trying to make sure you're being intentional in keeping your GM and your leaders and your commercial functions intact so that your recovery process is faster, and then thinking about your production-based associates at various occupancy levels. So it's kind of a staggered approach, and I think we're going to be dealing with reinstatements for the next 6 to 12 months. It's not going to be you hit July 1st, boom, everybody comes back to work. It is a very staggered approach and very fluid, quite frankly, where, our reinstatements are changing by the week. So we're looking at it on a, week-to-week basis.
Right. And Agnello, you have a bit of a different situation at Terranea. So what have you been finding as you get ready to bring more staff back on?
So, along those lines, for us, the reopening model dictates when and how many we bring back. So we've spent a lot of time using our thought leadership and want to have a thoughtful approach as we bring people back, because, we've got to look at the emotional side of things. A lot of them are nervous coming back because they've just gone through this furlough process, and then in some cases being laid off, and then coming back to work has to be meaningful. And so as we think about bringing them back, we think about what those new norms are and what it entails. Training is a huge piece of the puzzle, and with these new protocols and cleanliness and safety, and then figuring out how do we actually test this works, and then taking the time to evaluate and calibrate as we move forward. One thing we've also stayed committed to is that we are not going to compromise on the guest experience. Now, the guest experience will be different, and our guests will understand that because we are in constant communications with them. Yet we've got to balance that experience with the economics of everything. And the other piece of it is, you know, in this new sort of pre-COVID or post-COVID world, we're also looking at who gets to come back as essential associates to the property and who can continue working remotely. And primarily this is driven by the, you know, all the spacing and distancing measures that we're taking. But we're excited to bring them back on, but really it has to be a thoughtful approach. And also in our case, what we're doing is we're opening up the resort in phases. We're not opening up all 582 rooms. So, you know, the first phase has a certain percentage of rooms opening. And so, you know, that's a different business model than running the entire resort. And then not all facilities are open. You know, there'll be some dining options. There'll be, you know, some options for activities. But as we move forward into the next 2 or 3 months is what I think is when we fully open. So really thinking about it department by department, you know, position by position, you know, we've tried to sort of make sense of this. It's a huge puzzle, but we're getting closer.
What considerations do hoteliers need to make for returning staff? Because I would imagine there's more to it than just calling them up and saying, okay, we'd like you to come back to work on Monday. What other considerations need to be given? Who do you need to inform? Who needs to be brought in the loop to make sure you're doing everything right? Sloan, do you want to comment on that?
Yeah, so it's definitely multifaceted. So, you know, human resources, legal, finance, operations all need to be consulted. You know, first and foremost is, you know, what business levels do we anticipate? And, you know, trying to have a good forecast, and forecasting in this time is like trying to forecast in the middle of a hurricane. And then getting legal involved, because some people may not feel safe coming back. Getting human resources involved in that we need to train people as they come back around our new cleaning standards, that we require every associate as they show up for work to be temperature checked. They are required to wear a face mask while on property. And so making sure that they're aware of that coming in. And so what we've done is that we host weekly webcasts for all furloughed associates. As that, and then we host one for active associates. And we, every single week, our COO, our head of HR, and I host that because we want to make sure people are staying informed. And then we inform people at least 2 weeks in advance about reinstatements and what to expect. And so I think if you can have some protocols like that where you're communicating proactively, because the last thing you can do is just, I've heard a lot of hotel companies not communicating with people out on furlough. And that's the worst you can do, because first off, they don't know what to expect. They're maybe out on unemployment. They're not being communicated to. And then if they're being reinstated, they're not sure what to expect. You know, they may be fearful. Maybe they're in their late 60s and have a heart condition. And one of the other things I'd say you need to consider, too, is that, you know, if you offer somebody a reinstatement and they decline, you know, what we've been doing is we've actually been moving them to the down the checklist for various reasons, because we're trying to not necessarily separate when they decline to reinstate, particularly if they have childcare issues or health problems. And, you know, what I've been hearing is, you know, a lot of people saying, well, we reinstated you, now we have to terminate. Well, then that person doesn't qualify for unemployment anymore. And so we're trying to do that balance where we're giving people multiple opportunities to be reinstated. But you have to make them feel confident and comfortable as they come back, because they're no different than any other frontline employee, that you can't take away all the risk, that COVID is going to be here for the foreseeable future. And they have to be educated, trained, protected, you know, need to know what they're expecting as they come back. You know, and also the fact, you also add the implications that as you reinstate people, if you're a large employer like me, that you're not subject to the Warren Act, or you're not subject, that you're not being discriminatory in your reinstatements, that hence where you got to have legal involved, that maybe you're not favoring a certain group over another as you reinstate. So there's a lot of complexity, but definitely HR, legal, accounting, operations all need to be tied at the hip. And, you know, we have kind of a weekly practice where we go through all the furloughs, all the reinstatements. And then you definitely need, you know, new training protocols as you bring folks back.
Agnello, does your process work like Sloan's, or are there differences there?
It's pretty similar. You know, communications and ongoing communications is absolutely critical. And what we've done is, as we've moved forward, you know, we've made sure that we've communicated that, you know, this is a place that you come back to, which is, you know, provides the environment of cleanliness and safety to address associates directly. And that's been one of the big, you know, the big topics that we've talked about is, you know, we've mapped out the associate journey. What does that look and feel like, and walk in their shoes? And then, you know, the second piece of it is, you know, clearly document and communicate all the new policies, because that in itself, you know, it's, again, as I said earlier, it is a new norm. And, you know, folks are going to be, some of them are going to be shocked by it. Others may not be as much. And then lastly, you know, creating all internal and external communications that, you know, just being proactive and being responsive to whatever questions they have. We're approaching this reopening as a special event, and we want to make it as lively as possible, yet keep things really simple. Because as you know, it's, you know, you could write a protocol and in, within an hour's time that can change, and then you're rewriting things all over again. So we're trying to find ways to keep it simple, because at the end of the day, our associates need to be able to communicate with confidence and with pride as to how they're going to be, you know, how they've been onboarded and how they've, you know, been taken care of. And then, you know, in terms of making sure, you know, all ducks are in, lined up properly, as, you know, as I've said before, I think the having all components of thought leadership from different functions, you know, the people services function, the operations, the finance, and legal, and taking help from our home office, which is Coral Tree Hospitality, has been really instrumental in sort of guiding how we recreate our onboarding schedule and how we bring people back.
So both of you guys touched on this, but I also want to know how you're ensuring these new, or not these new, these re-onboarded employees are trained on your updated procedures and your new sanitization protocols. Agnello, how are you making sure that the new or that the people coming back know these new processes?
For us, it's been, you know, we created pods to think, to give this some deep thought. You know, it was a lot of research that took place, and then it was sort of filtering this research into standards of care that we've created here, and then sort of thinking about how we, you know, then take it to the next level. But it starts with that mindset of that the health and well-being of our guests and our associates and everybody that comes through the property is paramount. And so what we did was we created a brand platform for the resort called Terranea Promise. And really, it Terranea Promise expands on our standards of care and cleanliness at every different level. And it speaks to not only different guests from different walks of life, like a group guest or a leisure guest, but it also speaks to different departments. And now it's a pretty extensive, you know, extensive document. But then what we did was we mapped the associate journey and mapped the guest journey, and then started writing what we now term as standards of care. For each, you know, for each step of the way, because those are moments of truth. And so it's really important that everybody, with every step that they take and every move that they make, they understand that their health and well-being and their safety is paramount to us. And so the training program that we are about to unveil, you know, has different layers to it. You know, there's the general training program, which is brings back people and is reorienting them with the resort in, you know, within the new norm. And then we are then sort of layering it into different departments where we will have leaders that will be the de facto trainers as people come and go. Because we're going to, you know, in my opinion, we're going to see a lot of shift in the, you know, the force that we think that's going to be with us in terms of the associates. But, you know, there will be natural attrition. There will be people that cannot handle the new norms. And we'll have to continue evolving that sales force. So train the trainer is a program that we are creating, and then making sure that everybody goes through the training, not only in theory, but also in practice. And then we're also creating a process that reevaluates that, so that we understand that we are moving the needle and keeping up with Tyranny, I promise.
Sloan, how are you making sure that the people coming back are properly trained? Because you touched on that as well.
Yeah, so here's where, Remington, we benefit from being able to pull from 8 different brand families, and then we've also got 13 independents. So we had the luxury of being part of AHNLA's Safe State, so we're part of that advisory committee, and then we're part of Clean Stay with Hilton, as well as CARES program at Marriott. So we took all 3 of those, combined it with, we had hired an epidemiologist, and tried to make it as comprehensive but also simple as possible, in breaking it down to a standard operating procedure. And then we have it broken down by position, so it's clear for a front desk person versus housekeeping. And granted, there's some cross utilization, particularly in our non-union hotel. And then I think it's you have to communicate that in iterative and multifaceted fashion. So it's got to be in English and Spanish, and you need to be doing it and covering it at stand up as people come back. You do in-person trainings. We have webcasts where we're covering it. We also then, email, although, of our population, only 2,000 of the 7,000 have an email address. So that, and then obviously back of house communications, whereas before maybe you had, some of your guest service scores. Now, the cleaning program is forward and top of mind with your staff. And then, you supplement that with FAQs. We have a twice a week, every week webcast. We talk about these types of things, and we document all the frequently asked questions, and we distribute that in English and Spanish. And then we've assigned every hotel to have a cleaning champion. Now, in a lot of cases, that may be the GM or the chief or the executive housekeeper, but not in all cases it is. And then we have a VP of facilities capital management at the corporate level. And, he oversees all our cleaning SOPs, as well as a supply chain for PPE. We've centralized that because we found hand sanitizer, masks, et cetera, were problematic. And so we've been doing kind of bulk drop shipments at hotels, because the last thing you want to do is say, hey, you're required to wear a mask, and they show up and you don't have a mask to provide them. Or, hey, we've got hand sanitizer stations at all the public areas, elevator landing, et cetera, and then you don't have the supply. So, the last thing you want to do is tell people you have a standard and then you can't maintain the supply chain. So, that's one of the things we've been doing, is doing a lot of bulk ordering. And I think that's kind of critical in these times where, some of the supply chain is problematic. So that's what we're doing. It's kind of, like I said, iterative, multifaceted, trying to be comprehensive and not overwhelm people at the same time. And, we've also, as we've reinstated people, we've tried to be intentional about where we bring associates back, associates that have an interest to learn in different areas. So it's not just, the front desk manager who says, hey, I'm only going to stay behind the front desk. Well, now you may have to go work in housekeeping a little bit, or you may need to go work in another area. So we're doing a lot of cross training as well. And I think that you're going to see that a lot more in the industry. That people working across departments more often.
My next question, this is kind of a strange topic, but I've heard a few people bring this up. They've reported that line level employees are hesitant to come back because of the extra money they're receiving while they're on unemployment. Have you found this to be the case? And what would you suggest hoteliers do when they encounter this, if they encounter this?
So for sure that's happened. So if you look at the CARES Act, it provides every American on unemployment an additional $600 per month in unemployment benefit. And, unemployment is managed at the state level. Most states, it's half your income up to a certain state cap. And then so this CARES Act has added a $600 on top of that. Effectively, in most states, if you made $50,000 or less, pre-COVID, you're more or less made whole. And in a lot of cases, like you said, they say you made $35,000, you're actually making more on unemployment than if you were working full time. And so we are definitely facing that challenge in the hourly system to say, hey, I don't want to come back to work. I don't want to put myself at risk. I got a family member at home. And by the way, I'm already making more than I am. That will go away because in the HEROES Act that's in the that's in Congress right now, they're not going to extend the additional 600. So I think that is only a June, July problem. And then the additional 600 will go away. You know, what employers have the choice to, if an employee says, hey, I don't want to be reinstated, and you then, you know, separate your relationship and you report it to the unemployment office, they no longer qualify for unemployment. And that's been, we haven't done that in a lot, in any cases. So we've tried to really work with our people and give them the benefit of the doubt that they don't want to come back to work because of safety reasons. But that problem is a short-term problem. And like I said, once you clear July, everyone on unemployment will be making less than if they were working full time. And so you'll see a lot of people want to return to work in August.
Agnello, have you been experiencing this at all?
Yeah, this is something, you know, we have been hearing about and then, you know, anticipating that that's going to happen to us. And in some cases, we are starting to see that. And, you know, we're starting to recall our associates back to work. Never thought we'd be competing with unemployment and all the, you know, the benefits that come with it. But, you know, it should be a point of conversation in every strategy session when you have leaders, right? Because being in the hospitality industry, we're not, you know, this is not new grounds for us. You know, talent has always been a challenge for us. And, you know, and I sort of represent the HSMAI Foundation, which speaks about attracting and developing talent and leadership. So nothing new to us, but when you do see this as an issue, what we do is we've already thought about how we go into layers, you know, go 2 deep, 3 deep, to be able to let people know that we want them back, and, you know, keeping an open mind, because at the end of the day, it's an economic decision for the individual just as much as it was when we decided to make our business decisions and either furlough or lay off people. So we know that this is for the long term, and so we stand by our employment brand called Terranea Proud, and we know that that will draw people back because it is a family style environment, and, you know, we've got almost 1,500 associates at this resort by itself, so it is a place where, you know, as large as it is, you still feel the sense of belongingness, and we've had over 250 associates just pre-COVID that were here right from get-go 10 years ago, and, you know, just helped celebrate our 10th anniversary. So what we're doing is, as you know, trying to be empathetic, trying to be understanding to what it is. And I've heard in other industries, they are even providing incentives to bring people back, and, you know, this being something that just will probably last until the end of July and hopefully doesn't extend any further. We think that we'll be able to turn the situation around in our favor.
Kate, the one thing I would add is, you know, that I kind of alluded to it, but just to state it out clearly, you know, I think it's, you know, there's definitely restaurants are experiencing the same issue. There's anybody who's relying on hourly employees that were making $20 an hour or less, which is heavily us, is going to face this problem with reinstatements through July. Like I said, it'll burn off. Post July, though, you know, what is going to happen is there's going to be unemployment and hospitality is going to stay above 50%. And so you're going to have more, you know, you're going to have a ton of people wanting to get back to work and not enough jobs. And so it's actually going to cause wage deflation within hotels is going to happen in a material way over the next 6 to 12 months. I think that's one thing that people haven't really talked about a lot. That, you know, right now, 70% of people that work in hotels are laid off. Well, when that unemployment benefit burns off and then we start reintroducing, you know, half of those 70% may not come back. And so the demand for or the willingness to work, you know, so you're going to see a lot of people working for less money starting second half of this year. And I think that's something that we're not talking a lot about. That, you know, a lot of people who want to stay in hotels, they're going to take a pay cut. And that's just the reality of the situation. That's just basic economics. So I think this, you know, short-term issue of reinstatements is actually going to go the entire opposite direction as there are far fewer jobs than there were before this.
So this is a very layered issue. It's not like we were saying earlier, it's not you snap your fingers and you are restaffed and everything goes back to the way it was in February. What if you could just say one thing to a hotelier who's restaffing his or her hotel right now, what would it be? What advice do you have for them?
You know, for me, it's, you know, I go back to the mindset, right? And people coming back may be nervous. They may feel unprepared because they don't know what to expect. And we may even find certain critical staff, you know, they have pre-existing high-risk conditions that may prevent them from coming back. And, you know, it's just going to be a whole new world. But to me, I almost feel like as you're welcoming back people after either a furlough or a layoff, you almost want to treat them like guests. You've got to give them that sense and that confidence that, you know, being associated with programs like Safe Stay from AHLA and Clean and Safe from CHLA, as well as at Terranea and at Coral Tree Hospitality, we have a partnership with Ecolab, that you are, number one, going to have that peace of mind that you're coming to a space that is going to be incredible. And I would say that as leaders, you know, we've got to take some critical steps, right? We've got to be, you know, we've got to be transparency. We've got to start with the attitude of gratitude. And I think the biggest thing that I would say to anybody in this space right now as you're bringing back people, be empathetic. You know that it's a stressful environment out there, yet you've got to make these folks who are your true brand ambassadors and really drive the value of your brand, make sure that they're not struggling with, you know, understanding the concept of the new norm and how to serve people. And, you know, in many cases, they'll be wearing masks and, you know, a smile under that mask. And how do we care for them so that they can care for others? And also, in these are tough times for everybody. And so as hoteliers welcome back, you know, our associates, just as they would, you know, be excited as welcoming back guests, you know, be inspiring. And, you know, our industry is built on stories, and this is going to be an amazing story that we would tell. Now, it's not an easy story to tell for sure, but clearly there are things that we can do by going back to our core values, understanding who we are as a brand, accentuating them. You know, going back and revisiting who we are is going to be as critical. So, you know, and I would say, you know, just repeat again that it's really about gratitude, because bringing back folks and them coming back to the place of work, in my mind, is I'm grateful that they'll come back and keep us all in business.
You know, first and foremost, for any CEO or GM or, you know, key business leader, I would, you know, say if you're not doing a weekly communication touch point where you're taking live questions, even some fastballs from people that are really frustrated, they're out on unemployment. So if you're not talking weekly to your associates that are furloughed and weekly to your active associates, you're missing a huge opportunity to maintain rapport, because people can take bad news. They just need to be told in a direct and transparent fashion. So I think that's first and foremost. And I think that we're going to look back and there's going to be a lot of employers that, you know, moved fast to survive this crisis, but they didn't act appropriate through the crisis to thrive in a post-crisis environment. And so there will be many employers who pay a steep price the way they've handled the last several months and how they handle reinstatements. And I think you can buy yourself a lot of roadway by simple weekly communication and stepping out in front of, you know, I've gotten some buses, you know, bus questions, I call them, where there's a big moving bus down the highway that's not pleasant, but you're transparent and honest. And I've told people, hey, we're not going to have as many jobs at the end of this year. That's the reality. And I don't know how many and where, but I've told people that. And I actually told people on a webcast today that the furlough extensions we had to do this September, that some of those people should start actively jobs searching. They shouldn't just be sitting on unemployment, because we're not going to be able to bring some of them back. And that's hard news, but we're giving people advance notice and we're being real. And, you know, the math is Smith Travel's got RevPAR down 57% this year. Even next year, with the growth rate that we're probably going to experience, we're going to be 30-35% off to 2019. That means millions of jobs in hotels will not come back in the next 18 months. That's the economics of it, basic math. And so we can't, as employers, large employers, can't keep holding on to, we're going to furlough, we're eventually going to get everybody back. The reality is a bunch of these jobs are not coming back. A lot of brands are going to change their standards to not only do housekeeping upon arrival, so you'll have less housekeepers than you ever had before. So I don't think we reach employment levels like we saw in 2019, maybe ever in hotels, because we'll have modified services, but certainly not for the next 3 to 4 years. And I think it's a delicate balance of optimism, but reality. And I don't see enough reality happening. It's a, you know, well, we furloughed them, extended the furlough, not communicating with them. And these people are out collecting unemployment thinking they're coming back in the fall, and millions are not. And people need to start communicating in that fashion. I think we need to have more leadership in the industry to give a balance of the reality, because I unfortunately think there's going to be a lot more layoffs in the fall, and a lot of people aren't expecting that. And so that's what I'd say is balance, transparency, and honesty and empathy, and also delivering reality. And, you know, I think that, you know, the worst that you can do is give people a false sense of hope and they feel betrayed when you say, hey, in the fall, you have to lay them off. So that would be my advice. It's a delicate balance. It's not easy, but it's week to week. And right now, you know, you just got to keep it week to week.
Well, guys, thank you so, so much for making time today and for sharing all your thoughts on this topic.
All right. Well, thank you.
Thank you for listening to Lodging on Demand. If you want more content like this, please subscribe to our channel. Or you can listen to Lodging on Demand as a podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify.